really too bad that Phil and Braden in the choir have no fun. Wish you guys would lighten up a little, you know, have a good time. Well, this morning, I hope you appreciated my clever title as much as I did. To compare is human. I thought about to err is human, and then I thought, no, well, maybe that is true. We all make mistakes, but we also compare a lot. If you Google comparing yourself to others or simply comparing to others, you will find a lot of advice. Lots of Buddhist websites, Zen in particular, lots of amateur pop psychologists and gurus telling you over and over again and in many different ways that comparing yourself to others isn't good. It isn't helpful, they proclaim. It will kill your dreams before they start, says another. Comparisons will make you feel bad about yourself and your life, they warn. They're right, of course, except for when they're flat out wrong. This morning, I want to explore our tendency to use the lives of others as a yardstick for our own life. And I want specifically to look at the ways in which the comparisons we make hurt us. And then I want to look, perhaps more startlingly, and in that place where the kids wouldn't quite go with me this morning, at the ways in which comparisons we make can actually help us, can help us find understanding and common cause and support. In trying to understand our lives, we look for human comparisons, and that makes logical sense. We're human, right? We all share in some of the same messiness and complexity of what it means to be alive. We look around and we wonder, how have others who are about my age or in similar circumstances navigated these same issues? How has someone else dealt with losing a parent or wrestling with cancer or navigating the movement into retirement or going off to college? We look at others around us and we try to glean from their lives what might be useful for our own. The trick, however, is that we rarely stop there. We add in value judgments. So we don't just look at what others are doing and say, oh, that's fascinating, what an interesting choice they made. We look at what others have done and we say, wow, that's so much better than what I did. Or, wow, that person must be nuts. What are they thinking? We don't just look at how people do things differently. We draw conclusions. We look at what others have done and we see them as better or worse than what we have done. So let's start with the obvious way that we draw comparisons, which is usually the negative ones, the ones that these websites I found over the weekend were busy propagating. This looking at others' lives is nothing but bad. Now, there's the obvious way that we look and compare and find that we are lacking. We have less money, we're not as successful, we're not as attractive. Fill in the blank with whatever is the thing that bugs you the most. Perhaps the most hurtful, even more hurtful than these kind of little things, I really think they're just kind of window dressing to the real stuff of life. The more hurtful are when we look at other people's lives and we think, I'm just not as smart as they are. Or I don't have the insight or perspective, or I'm just not as emotionally intelligent as they are, or We see ourselves lacking in some more fundamental way. If all we can see when we compare ourselves to others is what's wrong with us, then the websites are correct. Nothing is to be gained by drawing this compare and contrast with others. The experience of others becomes a yardstick by which we measure our lives and see only failures and shortcomings. Our sense of self-worth becomes wrapped up in our sense of whether or not we are doing as well, or hopefully better, than those in comparable life circumstances. Now, this way of seeing other people also negates or underappreciates the differences. When you think about it, if you look at someone else and you only measure how they relate to you, aren't you kind of flattening who they are? Aren't you probably not getting the full story of how it is that they came to handle whatever that situation is, the way they're handling it? And aren't you diminishing your own uniqueness, thinking that all people who are cancer survivors are exactly the same, and you ought to be handling it just like everyone else who's in that same boat? Of course, when we make those kinds of assumptions, when we see sort of an exact sameness in the scenarios that we face, we kind of whitewash any differences. We make it nearly impossible to truly see others and ourselves in full complexity. And when we do that, what's not far behind is envy or even self-loathing. Now, I'll confess something to you this morning, and that's that ministers are not without their own places in which they do that. In ministry, you won't often get ministers to confess to it, but one form that this kind of measuring oneself against others takes is what I like to call looking at other ministers and saying, "Who got the biggest churches? Are they better than me? Are their sermons better? Do they do a better committee meeting? What is it about that person?" And then you envy, or you start to think you're not good enough. You start to think, maybe if I did something better, maybe if I was a little more this or a little less that, things would turn out the way I wanted them to. And yet, of course, we can't actually be anything other than who we are. So no amount of wishing something different, no amount of looking at someone else is going to change anything about our own lives. And of course, sometimes when we look at other people's lives, we put them on a pedestal. We envision their lives as perfect or blameless or ideal. And then sometimes we yank that pedestal out from under them, don't we? We do. And then we kind of pity them. Indeed, we think, what a shame that they're just human like me and you. Full of frailty, fully capable of mistakes, just like yours and mine. Comparisons in this way aren't fair to either side of the comparison. You might not look so good in that light, but the other person you're comparing yourself to isn't a real and full human being either. So what about the positives? What's the good news in looking at the lives of those around us? Where, when we compare, can we see connections that we might not have seen so clearly before? How is it that in comparing we might lose some of our isolation, some of our loneliness. How might we use comparing to discover that our challenges and our trials are not so unique? I had that lesson this summer brought home to me. In fact, it's when I thought about this sermon idea. It's a challenge for ministers. Everything's a potential sermon idea. Those of you who don't know me need a little background to this story, our guests from elsewhere. But this summer, my partner and I welcomed a new child into our family. I gave birth to a little boy who had a heart condition. And we knew going in that he was going to need surgery shortly after he was born. Little guy, Demetrius is his name, was born on August 7th and had surgery 6 days later. When he was 5 days old, I will tell you, I was a wreck. In fact, not only was I a wreck, I don't think I've ever been as much of a wreck as I was that day. I cried at everything. I cried at nothing. I had no idea who I was or what I was doing. I just knew that I was scared. And I just knew that everything felt out of my control. And I knew that the next morning, what I had to do was hand this little person who had become everything to me over to these strangers to let them take care of him. And it felt impossible. And so I got on Skype. And I talked to my dear friend in the mountains of North Carolina, my dear friend Dana, who had a little boy who's just over a year now, who also had a heart condition and also had heart surgery, completely different circumstances, completely different. And yet she had sort of accompanied me on this journey of having a little boy with a heart condition. And so there she was, looking at me through this monitor. Tears were streaming down my face. I was explaining to her that I didn't think I could do this. I couldn't possibly turn Demetrius over to these people tomorrow morning. And she looked at me through the Skype, and she said, "Shauna, I know. I know how you feel. I know what you want to do is you want to grab that little boy and you want to run away. You want to run out of the hospital. You want to go as far away as you possibly can and just take him with you." I said, "Yes, yes, that's how I feel." And she said, "You know what you also feel? You also feel like your job as a parent is to protect your child and to take care of him. And how could this possibly be protecting him and taking care of him? You can't do it. And you feel inadequate as a parent." And I said, "Yes, yes, that's exactly how I feel." And then she looked at me through that virtual connection and she said to me, "Shauna, the best thing you can do, the only thing you can do to parent your child right now is to hand him over to the doctors tomorrow morning. That is being a good parent right now. That is the best way for you to be a parent right now." And though I continued to sob the rest of the day, I knew she was right. I compared myself to her, and I'm all the better for it. Sometimes we need to compare our own struggles, our own vulnerable places, our own places of uncertainty with those around us. Say, what's it like for you? How do you make it through a day when you're not sure you can? Or we need to say, how joyful were you when you watched your child get married? We have all these experiences that we share in common, and we think we can't talk about them, or we don't know how to talk about them, or we don't ask to talk about them. The poet Mary Oliver says, tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. I want to say to you, tell me about joy, yours, and I will tell you mine. Tell me about life, yours, and I will share with you some of mine. If we don't have company on the journey of life, friends, it is a lonely place. I don't know who the Danas are in your life, the people who can speak truth to what you're going through, the people who can share with you your delight. But I implore you to reach out to them. Pick up the phone, get on the Skype, go across the street, do whatever it takes to touch that place of common connection. We keep to ourselves too often. We don't see those places of connection, those sources of shared resilience. And I think of all those groups that we know of where people support each other. Think of the AA groups, the other support groups out there that are a vital source of sustenance for those who attend them. Those kinds of groups are rooted in healthy, constructive comparisons. To compare is human. So the question is, will the comparisons you make add to your life, or will they simply make you feel bad about the life you're not living? Please choose the former. That's my prayer and my hope for us this day, that we will find ways to compare that are uplifting and that offer support rather than ways that critique and put down. Friends, we can be sources of inspiration and encouragement to one another. May we do just that. So may it be.